and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Cluster epic proportions already. We better get it together before David Crosby gets here.
I know.
Jim, go.
What? Oh, yes. The Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you in part by The Last Open Road. Where is The Last Open Road? What is The Last Open Road? Have you traveled The Last Open Road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
Okay, everybody, nobody help me. Nobody touch me. I'm fine. I'm still playing hurt. I'm a little sick still.
All right.
Oh, that's all I'm going to do all morning is put makeup right here where I've been blowing my snotty nose all night.
Oh, that's nice.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a big show for you. Ben Jealous, president of the NAACP.
Yes.
Not the NCAA.
No.
Entirely different organization.
All right. Just trust me. We have a huge lineup, including David Crosby of Crosby, yep. Stills, and Nash. Very, very exciting.
Wow. Ben McKenzie from
right
the OC.
Here in our house.
Yep.
It's a very, very fine house.
Our house.
Yeah.
It is a fine house.
I don't think there's any more room in the house.
No cats in the yard.
No.
Well,
we have four cats in the yard. That's, you know.
No wonder I'm sick. All right. So is it a bad time to whine what everybody's going through on the East Coast?
Depends.
Probably I'm going to anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. What? I think we should say, by the way, thank you everybody that came out to Sexy Liberal. And guess what? Our cause for Sexy Liberal New York is going to be New York Red Cross.
Oh, good. Good,
yes.
Good.
Excellent.
We sometimes don't pick a cause until we're done, so obviously. But you can text 90999 for a $10 donation directly to the Red Cross. So do it. Lots of our friends are... Oi!
You're not going to send a bus a la Romney with canned goods?
No, I'm not going to drop
cans
unnecessary canned goods on people.
With tiny little parachutes.
Like the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ow!
Oh, my God. Really, Mittens? I mean, and then we find out,
well,
Jackie told us this yesterday, they go to Walmart, they bought the stuff. Here,
yes.
Say you
$5,000 at Walmart, is
yeah.
That what we said? Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't too stagey.
And if people didn't have something, they'd hand it
yes,
to
them.
Yes,
that's what
so
I mean. Here, take your props. Now hand it back to me.
Wow, does he really think people are that dumb?
The polls are
starting to reflect this.
Yeah.
It's really,
really starting to move in Obama's direction.
Good.
Yay. Oh, all right, this is the story I forgot. Do you know how I'll tease stuff on the air because I'm a radio professional?
You teased something in hour one yesterday.
Right,
that,
and I entirely forgot.
You
tell
did.
The story. I would have gotten tossed out of broadcasting school for that.
And during a commercial break in hour three, you said, I didn't tell the story that you teased. And then you didn't,
no,
still didn't tell
and then
it.
I left, and then I went home.
I know.
You know, broadcast doesn't go for the booze and dope.
Listen, I was actually mixing red wine with my dog's pain medication. That's what I was doing because I'm very sick. Okay, so here's my story.
Oh. So I should still be wearing the mask is what you're saying.
No.
Great.
I'm on antibiotics now. It should be fine. Okay. Or,
or not.
Could be,
or not.
Could be Ebola. Either way. Either way, you're screwed. Okay, so.
I knew I should have bought that hazmat.
Not only did I get strep throat in New York because there was an outbreak.
Right.
I left my wallet on the plane.
Oh, great.
Yes, because I was tired and I had to buy food back in coach.
Yeah.
Because
in steerage.
Right, because you remember Rob
Reiner.
Where
they're doing an Irish jig next
right.
to you.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
The Irish
Reiner
band was wonderful, though.
Earth, Wind, and Fire were on the plane, of course, in first class. And so if the plane crashed, I would have gotten third billing. And someone said I should call my book that. Stephanie Miller died in coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, you'd be more likely to survive at the back of the plane. Generally, that's true.
Sure. Anyway. So I left my, and of course I would never say what airline. I'll just say it was an American one.
Wow. So many choices. It's hard to imagine.
So I called immediately, lost and found. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sure they found it. My accountant said, have you been trying to get cash off your credit cards in Compton?
Oh, God.
I was like,
oh, wow.
Whoever claims the plane for, you know, how did you
an American
airline might want to. Just saying,
perhaps
in particular, Flight 19 from
employees,
New York to L.A. on Sunday. They might want to check who cleans the plane on that particular airline. Okay, that's my story.
How did you take your wallet out on the plane? Were you sky mauling?
No,
in
coach you have to buy food with a credit card. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't
you
flown
and I was
I'm
tired. What'd you say?
She wouldn't know about that because she hasn't flown coach. No,
actually, I don't eat. So that
isn't my name in Captain America's underpants.
Yes.
Why?
Your special guest star flew back in first class. But you flew coach.
You? This special guest? Oh, I thought you meant me.
No.
Oh, the other one. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Rob Reiner.
Yes. Everyone is first except for me. Anyway.
And your name's on the show.
So I'm back here sick, and I realize I have no money, no cash, no food, no gas in my car. So I had to have friends be little guardian angels to me. That's all. It's been a very hard week.
You don't consider me a friend. You never called me.
I was dependent upon the kindness of strangers.
Yes, and in fact, I had to because I had nothing.
Did you siphon some gas out of boy band's truck?
That might cure your illness faster than the antibiotics. Swallow a little gasoline. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah, so see, that's why I'm in touch with the, 99%,
sure.
Because I was a hobo for several days.
Have you gotten all of that resolved? I mean,
well,
have you got
I canceled my credit card.
Okay, have you got a replacement one?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then you're fine.
What a week. Okay. However, I don't live in the East Coast. That's why I was saying it's probably not a good time to whine.
Yeah.
Just make sure they're not using your debit cards, because that's bad.
Huh?
Yeah. Because they access your bank. Because there's no like Visa protection when they use the debit card.
Yeah, but you have to have the PIN number, don't you?
But they can.
No, but there are ways of finding that out. Yeah.
Now's the time to change it from 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
4.
Yeah.
That's mine. Schechner!
All right. Let's. Speaking of Sexy Liberal New York, guess who? I got a tweet. Opening Sexy Liberal tour in New York City last night. Had a blast. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So. Oh, my God, I'm sweating like Mitt Romney looking at the Ohio polls. All right. Carl Frisch, good morning, sir.
I wasn't sure if you were going to get to me until after you had the technology of ATM machines explained to you.
Let me say it a really loving way. Screw you, Frisch.
And you know what? I think this is probably just karma trying to teach you a lesson. Didn't you lose your wallet on a plane once before and just happen to have had it found by a fan who passed it along to another fan who brought it to you?
And I seem to remember
two
that.
Friends.
Yeah, I think
friends.
That did happen. No, I think it was just my driver's license. I don't remember. Anyway, Carl, what's your point?
Carl made it back from New York with his wallet intact.
I made it back from New York with bronchitis.
Are you sick too?
Dodge. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm laying here with. I do not have a cone on my head though.
You like Dexter.
Aww. And you have a giant set, may I just say. That would be the other key difference.
Well, I figured that's how I would go blue just for you guys and show them during Sexy Liberal at the Beacon Theater. If I've got anything, I've got class.
Yes.
You showed your blue set.
You got class coming out of your head.
And the cone around your neck.
You were fabulous opening for us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. It was a delight.
Thank you. I loved your tweets. Hurricane Sandy, perfect example of the need to vote early. You never know what could happen election day. Mm-hmm. Good thought. If you also say, if you thought Romney was a severe conservative during the GOP presidential debates, what do you think he'd be like with a GOP Congress? Yeah, you're absolutely
well, people
right.
People forget. I mean, 9/11 in 2001 was election day in New York City and Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to take every opportunity. When your state or locality says, would you like to register permanently to vote by mail? You know what? Give up the joy of voting in one of those, crusty old booths just to make sure that your vote's going to get counted.
Yep.
You have to take every opportunity that you get to get your vote in early.
Yep. By the way, I heard somebody say the other yesterday, it's amazing, right, that I think not the storm is the October surprise, but Chris Christie, right? I mean, this is fairly extraordinary, isn't it? The keynote speaker for the RNC and the degree to which he's...
Well, it's certainly, I mean, I don't know if you've been reading all the tweets from his, loyal admirers who all wanted him to run for president. Well, his name is persona non grata.
Right.
And it's been funny watching people say, this is all about 2016. I mean, yeah, if you're trying to take the huntsman approach to 2016, but for rational people, this is just good governance.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with politics.
Yeah.
And I heard, I think it was Chuck Todd who said something along the lines of, sometimes no politics is the best politics.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, it's interesting. I'm reading the story, Hurricane Sandy is Chris Christie throwing Mitt Romney under a bus, abandoning Romney just days before the election, or is he merely putting the needs of his constituents ahead of politics? Well, both, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you've got that happening on our side, and Christie, you know, showing leadership and bipartisanship and everything else. And on the Republican side, you've got Mitt Romney collecting Rice Krispies for people that have – I don't know if you read the statement that the Red Cross put out after it reluctantly accepted all the stuff he collected or purchased at his rally in Ohio. But it basically read something along the lines of, "We thank the Romney campaign for all the crap they gave us."
Yeah.
If you would like to help us like the Romney and Obama campaigns, please send money.
Yeah.
Money. Or
no, I mean, it couldn't be more of a PR disaster, I think, for Mitt Romney. And I think you're absolutely right that Chris Christie, it's the one time, like, he can't do the Republican obstruction thing because it's a real emergency.
Right.
And so this is what, you know, it looks like when people work together. It's just,
well, you know, yeah. that's what Mitt Romney's friends at the Daily Caller are working on doing for him is getting the politics back on schedule here.
Yeah, of course. Let's dive into the right-wing world before we take a quick break. All right. Charles Hurt?
Yes.
Washington Times? Reporter on Fox News.
The one part of the economy that that President Obama has really sort of touted is the massive bailout that of the auto industry,
which works.
And if you listen to the ads that are run in Ohio, which has a lot of auto manufacturing, it almost sounds like President Obama is running for president of the auto industry as opposed to president of the United States.
What?
That is some gifted analysis from a Washington Times reporter.
Wow.
You know, in fairness, I mean, if Mitt Romney were elected, he'd be, you know, trumpeting one specific sector of the economy too, the FBI, not the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yep.
However, but the female body inspectors who would be all up in your grill trying to determine if you've ever been pregnant.
By the way, the answer so far to the question, are people in Ohio, does Mitt Romney think people in Ohio are stupid? The answer is no. They're not stupid.
Nope.
Yes, he does think they are, and no, they're not. The president's up, what, 5, Carl, at last
in
poll?
Two of 3 polls that came out yesterday, he's up 5, and the other one he's up 3. And that is why you see Mitt Romney going into Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Minnesota. He's trying to expand the map. That's why he spent all day in Florida yesterday. If he was secure in his thinking that he could make it to 270, he'd be in Ohio. He wouldn't be spending his time in Florida, and he wouldn't be looking for other ways to get to 270.
Wow.
The only thing I look at anymore, Jim, is my Yahoo thing. And last night before I went to bed, the president was at 303 electoral. And Romney was at 190, whatever.
Oh,
I'm
bless
like, all
his
right,
heart.
I'm going with that. All
no,
right.
There's a little man fight between Nate Silver and Joe Scarborough.
Oh, all right, we'll talk about that after the break. 18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Entirely certain that was microwavable.
What did you do?
Did your bowl melt?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Can you have like toxic plastic fumes in your food now?
Antibiotics will kill that too.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Carl Frisch in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World.
You and microwaves.
Oh, it's an episode of wishful thinking. Wishful, horrible thinking in the middle of a tragedy. Tucker Carlson.
Well, I think in general, natural disasters have a greater capacity to hurt, for example, Katrina, than they do to help. I mean, typically people don't blame the candidate for any candidate for the storm itself. Though one of these candidates did promise to lower the level of the ocean, and obviously that didn't work. Look, and there are a number of people, by the way, who've been blaming this on global warming, including Al Gore, including the governor of Maryland.
But including
look,
every
I think
scientist.
On the margins, this probably hurts Obama a little bit.
Oh, my
in
God.
That it adds
wishful
to the sort
thinking.
Of general feeling that things are amiss in America. And then the specific terms. You know, the one swing state most affected by this storm, Pennsylvania, and if there's one place you could see the effect of the hurricane hurting voting turnout would be in Philadelphia, and maybe on the margins that helps the Romney campaign in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. Are you high?
Wow. Where do you want to start with that, Carl?
Jeez.
Well, I just want to go on the record right now and say I've been waiting for him to go through puberty for 15 years. It's telling how off his political analysis is just looking at the basic polls that have come out about the president's handling of this. Upwards of 85, 90% of the American people say that he's handling it, he's doing a good job. In terms of climate change, yeah, he names a few politicians. He could have mentioned all scientists, mm-hmm. basically.
And by the way, Obama didn't say, I'm going to lower the level of the oceans, as you recall. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable.
And you know what? He should have. In fact, I'll go out on a limb here and say that the president should have said that. And that's what the goal should be. Any politician who uses that as a punchline should be punched right in the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bernard Goldberg on O'Reilly.
Do you think that more than a few reporters are sort of wishing at some level that the hurricane had not hit two blue states like New York and New Jersey?
Some people
but
say.
But it hit Iowa and Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
It
did. A hurricane's going to hit Iowa.
No,
it's
gonna, I know.
It's going to matter
in Ohio. I mean direct hit, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, I'm saying this only half tongue-in-cheek, but I think more than a few of them wish it hit there. Because that might help President Obama look presidential, which he's entitled to look in three important states.
Right,
it isn't
going to
make any difference in New York and New Jersey.
He's gross.
Okay. He's an idiot.
He's gross.
Wow.
I mean, really.
That's who, by the way, Bill O'Reilly turns to for media criticism.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And I love the formulation of his question. Do you think that maybe just a few might possibly believe?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, do you think that maybe just a few Fox News pundits might be off the rockers? I mean, it doesn't matter where this hurricane hit. It doesn't matter whatever politics the right wing tries to ascribe to it or how bonkers they've gone over the fact that Christie and the president are working together. What matters is that the president is doing his job, and those things have helped him in the States. And frankly,
thank you. By the way, I love what Tucker Carlson got in there. Oh, it tends to hurt the incumbent like Hurricane Katrina. No, when the incumbent is George Bush.
Failure.
Yeah.
Here is Dana Perino speaking of George Bush.
This has nothing to do with global warming.
You guys are
going to
still say there's no more global warming, right?
All right. Okay.
But you and Al Gore just
didn't cause a hurricane.
Yes, global warming caused a hurricane.
Put that in your lockbox, Bob, because it's not true.
God.
Oh, there's nowhere we enjoy good Al Gore jokes than here on Current.
Nobody has said that this caused the hurricane, by the way. What scientists have said is that the warmer ocean has given the potential of hurricanes to be stronger and have a bigger impact.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
All right.
It's something that James Hansen from NASA predicted years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes, NASA, what do they know? they claim they landed
on
the moon.
I was saying, since they didn't cover it in the debate, Mother Nature decided to bring up the issue. And we end with Rush Limbaugh.
You are standing by your prediction of a Romney.
Rush Limbaugh. Here we go.
Okay.
I really haven't heard a whole lot about this being related to global warming. It's such a non-issue anymore because it's fraudulent. The whole thing has been proven to be a hoax.
No. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not
Speaking
by
of hoaxes.
Scientists.
Yeah, thank you, Rush Limbaugh. I always hate to use him as a palate cleanser, but Stephanie, one piece of advice. I know you've got David Crosby on. It's not appropriate just because you're a lesbian to ask him for a child.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm making a note of that. Thank you, Carl Frisch.
See you're next welcome.
Week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
29 minutes after the hour. Ben Jealous next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Cut the crapola, sister. It won't wash here.
Too bad. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, Jim, we have one little tidbit left from Right Wing World.
This should
make us the happiest of everything. Because who's always the most wrong pundit in the history of wrong?
Oh, wow.
Who's the wrongiest McRongerson pundit ever?
Let me think. Could it be?
Dick Morris!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he thinks.
You are standing by your prediction of a Romney landslide?
Absolutely. Romney will win this election by 5 to 10 points in the popular vote and will carry more than 300 electoral votes.
All right. Now, you know, Morris, I have you booked for 1 week from tonight. 1 week
I know,
from
but my question is my appearance going to be before or after you buy me dinner?
Oh, boy. That is, well, if anything makes you happy, Clappy, that's it. You can read more about that in my book. Yeah. This race will absolutely be between Hillary and Condi.
You better load up the food wagon because...
Yeah, I was about ready to say, how much would it cost to take Dick Morris
million
to dinner?
$1 million. And that's okay. Just for the amuse-bouche.
All right, kids, we still got turnout to worry about. We've got, you know, all that stuff. Ben Jealous, president of the NAACP, joins us now. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
You know, obviously, there's a lot of people concerned. I mean, clearly the polls are looking good, right? But people, you know, you can't say it enough, right? Turnout, and ground game, right?
Now look, you know, this year folks really have to turn out and really, if you will, find that reason deep inside them. And what we say at the NAACP is, look, if somebody thinks that your vote is important enough to try to steal it from you, to take it away from you, to suppress it, that should be reason enough. That should be validation enough that your vote is important enough for you to show up and vote.
Yeah. Ben, you know, obviously a lot of our listeners concerned. It's interesting. The right wing has been the one screaming voter fraud. And every story that's come out so far, it's been Republican dirty tricks that are already starting to pop up, right?
No, that's right. And really, you know, on a massive scale, I mean, it's confounding. They've managed to get people really in a tizzy about this notion of voter impersonation, which every time that they bring it up, you know, we prove that it just hasn't happened. It doesn't exist, or nationally, you know, maybe out of 30 million votes cast, you might find 86 cases. I mean, my favorite is Governor Haley down in South Carolina, who earlier this year got front page news saying that 900 dead people had voted, and she was ordering the state board of elections to investigate. And then, like, page 23, 3 weeks later, was the state board of, you know, the state board saying, Governor, well, actually, no dead people voted because they were dead.
Yeah, there's that. I mean,
it's absolutely, you know, mind-boggling that they've been able to pass laws on this lie. But the reality is that when a law isn't created to solve a problem, it's created to be a problem. And that's what's going on with the strict voter ID laws. That's what we're so proud. We've gotten so many governors to veto them, even a Republican in Michigan, Governor Snyder. But what we're most worried about now are the dirty tricks that come out. You know, we've seen robocalls go out in Spanish telling people to vote on the 8th, not the 6th.
Yeah. Or that you can vote by phone. We've heard that story.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Ben, you'd think if they were so confident in their candidate and, you know, they're polling like they claim to be, they wouldn't have to resort to this, but clearly they're not.
Well, yeah, and that's what's so disappointing is, look, you know, we saw Ken Mellman when he was chairman of the Republican Party just 4 or 5 years ago say, you know, look, we can win without voter suppression, we can win without voter fraud, we can win on our ideas, and that, of course, should be the mantra of every party. But you have these extremists inside the Republican Party, and I want to be clear that it is extremist, because, again, you do have people like Governor Snyder in Michigan, you have people like Governor Bob McDonnell in Virginia, who have really taken great political risk inside their party to go out and defund democracy small d this year. But you've had a party that in too many places has been overrun by extremists who are willing to do whatever they can to win. And that's really not what this country is about.
Ben, what is, you know, this latest story I'm looking at is in, of course, Wisconsin. They've been reporting on how the Romney campaign is training poll watchers to mislead voters. Now an election official in Wisconsin has weighed in to criticize the Romney camp's practice of hiding their poll watchers' affiliations and confirmed that the materials they're using in training are misleading. I don't know if you've heard about any of this. The primer says, convicted felons are ineligible to vote in Wisconsin. That's not true. Felons who are out of prison and have completed probation can vote. But this is just deliberate misinformation to try to scare away people that have the right to vote, right?
You know, you would certainly hope not, but it's suspicious, especially coming from a campaign in Virginia. And hear me here, that tried to have 16,000 voter registrations thrown out simply because they feared that the people might vote for the other guy. I mean, it's one thing to contest votes. You know, it's one thing to contest voters. It's something else to contest voter registration. And that sort of kind of, you know, hyper partisanizing, if I can make up a word, of the process is something that we've just got to back off of. We've got to get back to a place where, you know, we believe that everybody in this country should have the right to vote. And, oh, by the way, you know, being clear that voting is a right, not a privilege.
You know, well, exactly, Ben. And, you know, I think it's telling, and particularly in this Wisconsin case, you know, they instructed their poll watchers not to disclose any affiliation with the campaign. They were told to list themselves as concerned citizen. I mean, clearly that means they know that they're instructing them to do things that are not legal. If they're saying, don't say you're from the Romney camp.
That's highly suspect, highly suspicious, certainly deserving of a full investigation. And, you know, and if it's found to be intentional, and it certainly sounds like it might be, then somebody needs to go to jail. It's really that simple.
Well, and Ben, you know, reassure my listeners, because it seems like the Obama administration has pretty much been all over this. The Justice Department, I mean, obviously we've won at the courthouse in pretty much every state. I know in this Wisconsin one, they wrote and said these acts of willful misinformation and individuals sent to polling locations to enforce the law raise serious concerns under Wisconsin law. I ask your office to review this matter urgently, take all necessary steps to protect the rights of our state's voters. It seems to me that the Obama, you know, team is pretty on the ball on this. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, really, the U.S. Department of Justice under Holder has done a great job of, frankly, rebuilding a function that had been almost completely decimated by the Bush administration. And it's even more important because we've seen, you know, ever since Kathleen Harris in 2000, the Secretary of State's office across the country, hyper-partisan, many of them engaging and tolerating behavior that's just fundamentally anti-democratic, and really goes against the spirit, if not the, you know, express purpose of their positions. And so, yes, you know, the DOJ in this administration has been rebuilt to do its job.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, absolutely. Too many people have died for this right. Do not let them take away your right to vote. Tell people where we, you know, where they can go to find out their rights in their state.
Look, folks can go to NAACP.org, NAACP.org. You can also text VOTE, V-O-T-E, to 62227, which on your phone keyboard spells NAACP. Text VOTE to 62227 and get it that way. You know, and you're so right. And that's really one of the things that makes me most proud of our folks down in Florida. You know, this year we have signed up over 450,000 people to vote. It's more than 3.5 times more than we did in 2008. But fully over 125,000 of those were in Florida. And that's, you got to recall, we started this year with sheriffs threatening to throw our people in jail because the form over the Martin Luther King Day weekend where the office had been shut for 2 days was turned in more than 48 hours after they took it out. I mean, that's sort of in intimidation that they face. But down in Florida, our people remember that 60 years ago, their NAACP Florida president was blown up Christmas Eve while leading a massive voter registration drive. And so it's important for people to remember just how many lives have been lost and just how sacred their right to vote is.
Ben, thank you for that, and thank you for your great work at the NAACP. We've also got gotavote.org is up. Know your rights. Do not let them take away your right to vote. Ben, thanks so much. We will check in with you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Ben. I found a funny thing online. Did you put all the bleeps in?
I did.
Okay. Is this from, I think it's from Move On, right, Jackie?
This is from Move On.
This is a moving message.
And O'Reilly railed against this last night, saying that Move On was threatening.
We posted it because the visual's even funnier.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
turn little what? News makes mic on. Yes, yes,
my
honey.
Mic off? Is this how you get rid of me? Slowly?
Stop it.
Yes,
honey.
First you banished me from the studio yesterday.
Precious,
now you're
talking about
what? What? What do you want from me? Is this the ad that you sent me yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. From what I've been able to confirm, it is actually, yes, a Move On.
It's a very moving message about the election from a 97-year-old and her friends.
I was born in 1915 during World War I. My first vote was in 1940 for Franklin D. Roosevelt, and I have not missed an election since. And I want the Republican Party to know, if your voter suppression throughout this beautiful country enables Romney to oust Barack Obama, we will burn this mother down.
Si se puede.
I have four generations of family on this earth, and my life has been very blessed. And if the Republicans steal this election, I'm going to track down Mitt Romney and give him the world's biggest punch. What's the matter, Sonny? You never heard that phrase? Punch. Right in the sack.
I served during World War II. I'm the last of my buddies still here. And I've got a message for kids, for Democrats, for anyone who cares about honest elections. If you let the Republicans do this to you again, after we die, we're going to look down on you from heaven, and we're going to make a point of watching you have sex every time, no matter how kinky.
Especially if we are related.
The best way to stop the GOP from stealing the election is to make sure it isn't even close. Go to votersrising.org.
Sign up and help get out the vote.
Go vote!
Yeah!
Go vote! All right, and it's posted up on our Facebook page.
Yes.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Aggressive. Yeah. I bet you this song has made a few people snap.
Probably.
Get automatic weapon. Okay, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Somebody tweeted me, reminder for Republicans, do not accept any government help today. You built that. You can clear the roads. You can restore the power.
Yep.
Not FEMA. Oh, by the way, Jim, I know this never happens, but did you see that Mitt Romney flip-flopped?
What?
He said he's... Of course I wouldn't
of
say
course.
FEMA should be dismantled. Of course I
didn't say that.
You've always been for funding FEMA fully. That's ridiculous.
You liberals with your imaginations. Of course I didn't say that. Of course not.
I'm just going to keep repeating it. I've always been for fully funding FEMA.
And we are at war with East Asia.
We've always been at war with East Asia.
Everyone knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Of course we
of
are.
Of course.
Of course we are.
Kevin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, gang.
Hi.
Two things. I'll make them quick.
Okay.
With the Chris Christie thing, I have no malice of forethought that he's doing any of this with any kind of cynical thoughts. But what I do think is that now... If and when he does criticize Obama in the future, it's gonna hit hard and it's gonna be brutal.
Yeah, but that's gonna be tough for him to do, Kevin. Don't you think before the election to do? I mean,
I don't think it's gonna happen before the election at all. No, I'm saying that in the next couple of years, if he criticizes Obama, because now he's gonna have everybody thinking, okay, this guy tells the truth. This is a guy thinks what
well,
he
Kevin,
thinks,
I
what
think...
he thinks and.
Right. I think it's what people have said. I think it's a little of both. I think the fact that it took him, what, Chris, 25 minutes to mention Mitt Romney in his keynote speech.
That was
problem. If you thought the look on Ann Romney's face during his speech at the RNC was bad, if she's been watching the coverage lately, I mean, I'm just saying I think it's a little of both. I think that he probably, like most Republicans, hates Mitt Romney. I think he's looking toward 2016. But I also think he's doing his job right now.
No, absolutely. No. That's why I wanted to start with saying I don't think it's any kind of malice of forethought. I just think that a consequence of what's going on now is that if he does criticize him in the next couple of years, then it's going to hit a lot harder than it would have if this didn't happen.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's interesting that this is the headline this morning. Hurricane Sandy. Is Chris Christie throwing Mitt Romney under a bus? Team Romney must feel like Christie's throwing their candidate under the bus, says John Cassidy at the New Yorker.
Yeah.
It's understandable Christie would be more concerned about his constituents than presidential politics in a moment like this, but he has heaped praise on Obama's handling of the storm for 3 straight days. Romney's flax must be apoplectic and wondering, is this guy ever going to shut up? Romney has a Christie problem and a FEMA problem. And then my fellow Obama critics are seething that Christie should put a sock in it, said Ed Rogers at the Washington Post. Yeah, I mean, there they are. President Obama and Chris Christie, they were touring New Jersey together. Mm-hmm. I mean, And, you know, it honestly looked authentic, too, the things they were saying about each other. This is the president.
What I can promise you is that the federal government will be working as closely as possible with the state and local officials, and we will not quit until this is done.
Oh, conservatives hate hearing that.
Yeah.
The federal work closely with state and local.
Didn't that one headline yesterday say it all, and you thought it was an Onion headline? Bush's FEMA director says President Obama reacted too quickly.
You're being too confident. You're doing it too quickly. Not enough people have died yet. Come on.
I mean,
Give it some time.
Even the picture right there of them on Marine One shows you the resources of the federal government, you know, in terms of being able to assess the damage quickly, to cut through the red tape, the fact that he gave them his number at the White House directly. Despite being a top surrogate for Mitt Romney, Christie has kept his compliments up for Obama. Yeah, this has not been like one or two comments. This has been... He said, I cannot thank the president enough for his personal concern and his compassion. Oh, how much do they hate the C word? Compassion. Okay, the president.
We will not forget. We will follow up to make sure that you get all the help that you need until you've rebuilt.
Yeah, he said he discussed all the, you know, specific problems with the president. He said, I discussed all these issues today with the president. I'm pleased to report he sprung into action immediately to help get those things while we were in the car riding together. And the president returning the compliments.
Governor Christie, throughout this process, has been responsive. He's been aggressive in making sure that the state got out in front of this incredible storm. And I think the people of New Jersey recognize that he has put his heart and soul into making sure that the people in New Jersey bounce back even stronger than before. So I just want to thank him for his extraordinary leadership and partnership.
Oh, that's dry. I can't imagine what's going on in the Romney camp.
I know, and they don't know how to respond. I mean, that's what you should have seen. What's his name? Kevin Madden or whatever. They do not know how to... You know, because they, even they realize, as ham-handed as they can be politically, that they're in the middle of a national disaster. Chris Christie, here he is.
I discussed all those issues today with the president, and I'm pleased to report that he has sprung into action immediately to help get us those things while we were in the car riding together. So I want to thank him for that. He has worked incredibly closely with me since before the storm hit. I think this is our sixth conversation since the weekend.
Cooperation. That's another C word they hate, cooperation.
Yeah. But doesn't this put on display exactly the difference? I mean, he has been up against this solid wall of obstructionism, you know, among... And this is why I keep saying, don't just put the president back in. Get him people he can work with, like Chris Christie.
Yeah.
There are Republicans that are human beings that will work with you. I mean, and it shouldn't take a disaster for this to happen. Governor Christie...
It's been a great working relationship to make sure that we're doing the jobs that people elected us to do. And I cannot thank the president enough for his personal concern and compassion for our state and for the people of our state.
Compassion,
I just picture Rush Limbaugh sputtering.
Chris Christie.
Every C word imaginable.
I just picture Rush Limbaugh sputtering mass at his...
Socialist, communist,
Romney, of course, was back campaigning on Wednesday with the very appealing Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus!
But his campaign...
Reinhold Reince Priebus!
Thank you. But his campaign seemed at a loss how to deal with Christie's praise of Obama. Kevin Madden, Romney's senior advisor, asked our reporters whether he agreed with Christie that Obama was doing a good job handling the hurricane response, and he said, I believe the response is still going on, so I'm not in a position to qualify the response by the federal government. I believe it's still ongoing. Well, you're hoping he screws up later?
Yeah, then you'll comment on it.
Okay. I'm waiting for him to screw up, and then I'll comment.
Yes.
But now it's going on, and it's ongoing. It's an ongoing,
I need to get going now, because this is awkward. Okay, 58 minutes. I'm going to skedaddle. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good.
you're right, Jackie. That is bad Photoshop. Wow, the size of the Mitt Romney crowd, that is bad Photoshop.
Yeah.
There has been significant shrinkage in
that. Size matters.
Yeah, size does matter, boys. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number is toll free from anywhere. All right, we were talking a little about polling. It's all good news for the president. Likely voters of all political stripes give broadly positive ratings to President Obama's response to the devastating storm. ABC News, Washington Post poll, 78%. That's almost 80, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Rate Obama's response to the hurricane positively as excellent or good. While just 8% see it negatively, that would be, I don't know, Russian.
Yes. Okay. Bow tie boy.
And, yes. I love this. Romney's rated positively for his response to the hurricane by 44%. What, for his fake photo op? that was good. Oh, sending the canned goods that people don't need as a campaign? Okay. Negatively by 21%, 35% expressing no opinion. The federal government's overall response to the storm is rated as about as well as Obama, 73% positive. And I love that they felt they had to include this in the story. The ratings are far higher than the government's or George W. Bush's after Hurricane Katrina. Really?
Hard to go lower than
that. Wow.
How low can you go?
Views on Obama's response to the hurricane exhibit some bipartisanship in an otherwise highly partisan period. He's rated positively on the issue by 63% of Republicans, as well as more than 80% of Democrats and independents. Nearly as many conservatives, 73%, as liberals, 8 in 10. That's, again, almost 80%, Jim.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
The president has reached 50% nationally. He leads Mitt Romney by 5 points nationally, 50 to 45. And then Jackie covered some of the state-by-state. Wisconsin opened up an 8-point lead. Michigan, yada, yada, yada. We'll get to about more of that. I think the point is many, many people all fired up now. We're almost there. Hey!
Don't live with your eyes closed. Don't go back to the old ways. We must move forward and call the ride out on the douchey ways. They have
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Gary Peters. Well, there's an interesting company in his district. It's Chrysler GM.
Wow.
Representative Gary Peters of the great state of Michigan joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Well, good morning to all of you.
Good morning. You know, I know that you work closely with the president on the auto rescue, right?
Absolutely. And we're very proud of the president making some very tough decisions, but it's been a great success, as you know.
Well, did you do a spit take when you saw this Romney ad saying
that? It was unbelievable. And what he is trying to do now is just shows some desperation from Romney. You know, first was during the debate when he tried to take credit for the auto rescue after basically writing an op-ed saying Detroit should go bankrupt and bashing the president. Then he tried to take credit for the rescue. And when people saw through that and realized there was no way he could do that, now he's changing gears and trying to make up even more facts about jobs going overseas. So this is an act of a desperation, a candidate who is lying about the auto rescue. And I think certainly the people here in the state of Michigan, I think throughout the Midwest, know that the president did a courageous thing and has been very successful.
Representative Peters, clearly the people of Michigan had the good taste to elect you. And secondarily, I know the Romney camp was sort of saying, oh, no, you know, we're going to be competitive in Michigan. A new public PPP poll just shows Obama leading Romney 53-45 in Michigan, correct?
That's right, yeah. The numbers were tightening, but now it looks like the president's getting momentum once again.
Well, because, this is what I was saying. You know, not only is it a flat-out lie, this ad that, you know, Romney's putting out about the auto rescue, but I think it insults the intelligence of people in places like Michigan, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So people are very, very aware of the facts of the situation, the fact that we're talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs that have been created as a result of this rescue. And the Center for Automotive Research has claimed and has documented that Over a million jobs were saved as a result of that rescue. So then for Mr. Romney now to put out some facts about jobs going to China when you've got the iconic Jeep brand and Chrysler investing billions of dollars in new facilities here in Michigan and in the state of Ohio. You've got General Motors also coming out with a statement. You may have seen their statement that said that basically we're clearly entered, this is a quote, clearly entered some parallel universe during these last few days. So, you know, the companies are just outraged by these comments by someone who wants to be president.
Representative, he went on to say no amount of campaign politics at its cynical worst will diminish our record of creating jobs in the U.S. and repatriating profits back into this country. Have you ever seen, I mean, car companies get into the middle of a campaign like this, but I feel like they almost have to. It's so blatant and dishonest, isn't it?
Yeah, they have to. You know, they certainly do what they want to stay out of partisan politics. Their job is to produce a product and sell it, but they can't allow these lies to go forward, particularly when they're so outrageous and as they say, politics in the most cynical form, which is unfortunate from someone who's running for president. So if he engages in these tactics now, what would he do as president? I mean, this goes to the very character of the individual.
Well, thank you. That is the word right there, character. I love his spokesman said their comments don't refute anything in our ad. And, you know, here we go again. It's like his tax returns or anything else. It's truly in the narrowest, most carefully lawyered sense, right? I'm reading an analysis of it. After Romney outright misstated that list, the Jeep was considering shipping jobs to China, which, first of all, is fear-mongering people in a tough economy, right?
And,
So the company denies that they're actually adding jobs at the Ohio plant. Their ads were more careful to say only Jeep was looking at expanding in China. This is accurate, but the company says it's completely unrelated to their domestic workforce and only part of operations catering to the Asian market. So, I mean, obviously the innuendo behind the ads is unmistakably clear. The auto ballot didn't save Ohio jobs, it's sending them to China, and nothing could be farther from the truth, period, right?
Absolutely, and it's clear about billions of dollars being invested in those facilities, thousands of jobs being created in the state of Ohio, as they have been here in Michigan. And those are jobs also all across the United States that were saved and were created as a result of that. And, you know, if we did not have a domestic auto manufacturing sector with Chrysler, GM, and Ford, you would not have manufacturing. These are good-paying, middle-class jobs. And once again, the president did a bold thing. I was in the middle of all of that. It was a very ugly time, a very, very scary time. And the president made a decision that was not very popular anywhere else in the country. He did it because he believed in the American workers. He believed in that investment. And it's paid off. And we just can't get Mr. Romney to admit that this has been a great success and something that we should all be very proud of.
Well, you used a word earlier, Representative, desperate. And you know, I'm reading one headline in The Week magazine. It says, will Mitt Romney's grossly misleading Jeep to China ads help him win? I mean, again, you would have to hope people are not that stupid, whether it's in Michigan or Ohio, right?
Oh, that's right, and that's why I'm certainly pleased that the auto companies came out with extremely strong statements that is uncharacteristic of a company to get involved in politics, but they just saw that you cannot let these statements be left unchallenged and challenge them. So certainly I have faith in the American people and certainly folks here in the Midwest who have been through that time, that very rough time, and know where we are today. They're not going to be swayed by this, and we've got to just make sure, though, you call it out. You can't let it stand. You've got to call it out very aggressively, as the auto companies have and other people, including newspapers. Very strong editorials here in our local papers saying this is just outrageous what Mr. Romney's trying to do.
Well, good for them. Good for them. Let me just say, fine, fine products coming out of Michigan. Not just Jeeps, but Representative Debbie Stabenow, John Conyers, and, of course, Representative Gary Peters. Thank you so much for taking time for us. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you again soon. There we go.
It's Senator Debbie Stabenow.
Oh, that's what I said. What did I say?
Congress? Said representative.
Oh, I just demoted her for apparent reason.
It's just a different, you know, part of Congress.
It was a gaffe. Right.
Okay.
It's election season, and I made a gaffe. Yeah, how about this headline? Will it help him win? Because, you know, he's doubled down.
Mm-hmm.
He's been pilloried by fact-checkers, auto executives, you name it, about this ridiculous ad.
Yep.
So, several newspapers in Ohio called the ads misleading. The Cleveland Plain Dealer said in an editorial the claims were a ploy that shows Romney is flailing in Ohio.
Yeah, he is.
Instead of backtracking, no, he doubled down on Tuesday by airing a new radio version of the same spot.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. And the needle is moving in the opposite direction of where he wants it to go. It's moving more towards Obama, so this is clearly
keep
not
going,
working.
Mittens.
Yeah.
Keep going. Let's see. Why don't you drop some more unneeded canned goods on people? But, you know, somebody's saying if you can muddy the issue enough to win over some independents with soft support for Obama because of the bailout, it might make all the difference. You know, but obviously people have different opinions on it. Greg Sargent at the Washington Post said it's startling that Romney thinks Ohioans will believe this stuff. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but one Mother Jones even saying, we won't know until election day. I'd like to believe that people are smarter than this, but I wonder. I mean, I honestly can't believe he's doubling down after being, I mean, like the representative was just saying, since when do auto companies get into politics in the middle of a
right.
It's just,
Patui.
Excuse me. Okay, Jeannie in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Steph. I love your show.
Thank you.
I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
I you know, I lived in New York. I grew up in Long Island, lived in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and I have a sister in New Jersey. And yesterday, when I heard Governor Romney cleaning up those messes and what's going on out there, to how hard it was for him and some of his buddies to clean up a football field.
Aye.
College, it made me sick.
I remember one time I cleaned up paper products on a football. He is just so weird. I'm serious.
You know, the fact that he says this garbage is scary enough, but the fact that people listen and eat it up and hold up signs, yay, go Romney, is horrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what's missing in people's DNA and common sense genes.
Yeah,
are
you looking at the TV? People have lost their houses, their loved ones in some cases. It's who uses the word paper products?
Well, he equates helping people who are beneath his status with picking up garbage. Literally,
picking up
trash is the same thing.
I once had to clear a football field of paper products, and pardon me while I gather some more goods.
I don't see him writing a big fat check either.
Yeah. Hello. Sexy liberals giving money mittens. We don't got your cash.
I did the Red Cross thing. You know, where you text.
Text 90999, and it gives a $10 donation directly to the Red Cross.
I did that.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
999.
Even what I pay you.
I know.
Anyone can afford $10. Trust me.
I had to hunt through your couch cushions to come up with that $10.
But Rice Peebles said 999.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Stop ignoring me. Okay, hi.
24 she's minutes. Running a newscast over here.
And she's not going to be your girl.
You know, might be so distant.
You know how the Young Turks have the newsroom behind them when they're on the air? She's...
Can't you get me a long stick, though, I can just irritate her the whole show?
Doink.
What you doing?
Doink.
What you doing?
Working.
Okay, sorry. 1-800. That's the phone number.
She's in the newsroom.
I don't have producers that do work for me.
Oh, no. Snap. Oh.
Neither do I. Actually.
Oh my God.
No, I do have help. That's not true. I do have help. But
Lisa
Ferguson,
that's
who
right.
does the news cut-ins on Bill
Yeah.
Patton.
Lisa is, just drew a Hitler mustache on you.
No, right? she is fabulous and wonderful, and I love her dearly. And she
and
helps
horns.
Me out a lot.
Okay. All right. I knew.
Sorry, Lise.
Oh, boy.
Now she's writing evil, bad
now
words
she's
in
writing,
my script.
Now she's writing all the wrong news for you to read.
A bunch of four-letter words.
Mitt Romney has pulled ahead by 45 points.
Or the news from 3 years ago.
Yeah. I love you, Lisa.
A new Wisconsin poll.
Is Sarah Palin a game changer?
Yeah, we were saying she's getting very, very thin. I think irrelevancy is very taxing on the body. A new Wisconsin poll continues a brutal swing state polling day for Mittens. Oh, dear. President Obama's lead has expanded to 8 points, as we've been mentioning.
Of course it hasn't.
Yes, it has. In Wisconsin, yes, it has. The Wisconsin results continue a brutal day of swing state polling for Republican nominee Mitt Romney. He trailed in three new polls, Virginia, Florida, and Ohio. Obama's advantage in Wisconsin is 51-43, I think, as we've said. Along with the Ohio results, the Wisconsin poll presents a dim picture for Mitten's path to the... Oh,
apparently,
dear.
Wisconsin doesn't go for lies and dope.
That's because apparently many more people have been taking a very quick look at Obama's first term.
Election day is just around the corner, which means there's no time to waste. There's only days, hours, minutes, seconds, and nanoseconds to make sure that everybody you know knows everything President Obama has done for our country. You know, he took office in the middle of the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. He signed the Recovery Act. That's the act to get our economy back on track. And guess what? It helped add back millions of jobs. Speaking of work, the first bill he signed was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Restoration Act, because equal work should get equal pay. He signed the Affordable Care Act, so you don't have to act like what's best for the insurance company is what's best for you. Just ask the 3.1 million more young adults who have insurance, the 3.6 million seniors and people with disabilities in the Medicaid donut hole who now have help, and the up to 17 million kids with pre-existing conditions who can't be denied coverage. You can't deny that's a pretty big deal. And that's not the only reform. We got Wall Street reform, credit card reform, student loan reform. He doubled funding for Pell Grants by ending subsidies to big banks, so you can get some major bang for your buck when it comes to college, community colleges, historically black colleges, and universities. He expanded the post 9/11 GI Bill to send more veterans to college if they want to go, because if you're fighting for your country, you should not have to come home and fight for the training you need to get a job.
Right.
He ended the war in Iraq, and we all know what happened to Osama bin Laden. Under President Obama, the private sector added new jobs, including the first increase in manufacturing jobs since 1997. Talk about creating an economy that's built to last, where everybody pays their fair share and anybody who works hard has a shot at success. And did I mention he rescued the auto industry, saved more than a million jobs, turned around things for the American automakers so they're profitable for the first time in years? He developed historic fuel efficiency standards that'll mean clean skies, reduce our oil consumption, increase the fuel economy of our country's passenger auto fleet to 54.5 miles per gallon, and it will save families across the country $8,200 at the pump per vehicle. He cut taxes for working class families, so families save an extra $1,000 this year to buy things like groceries, gas, whatever. President Obama has done all this in less than 4 years.
Wow.
I've got to get the word out, and no matter how fast I go, I can't do it alone, so I'm counting on you to help. Start by visiting BarackObama.com. Get the facts, share the facts, and make sure everyone you know knows why you're voting for President Obama. Because if this is what this guy can do in 4 years, imagine what he can do in twice the time.
Wow.
Wow, it's fast-talking guy. We all love fast-talking
guy.
But I dropped cans of soup on your head. Of course I did. Of course
we
I did.
We posted that if you'd like to.
We did.
Up at your Facebook page.
I was trying to write it down, but I started to cramp up.
Yes.
Exactly.
Who knew the Micro Machines guy was an Obama supporter?
Wow.
Exactly. All right. I'm not sure I covered all these yet. There's so many polls, so little time. Quinnipiac, let's see, Ohio at 50, Romney at 45 in that one. Women, here, hey, gender gap. Hello.
Chicks.
Dig. Obama. Women in the state prefer Obama over Romney, 56% to 39%. The president's lead among Ohio voters who have already cast a ballot, comparatively large, 60 to 34%. Obama also enjoys a wide advantage among Virginia women. He leads in the state 49 to 47%. Let's see, Florida, Obama is at 48, just 1 point ahead of Romney. They're very tight in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard our friend Debbie Wasserman Schultz say last night on TV he's going to win Florida. Oh, she just tweeted Mayor Ed Koch is endorsing Barack Obama and the president's unambiguous commitment to Israel for 4 more years.
What about the Koch brothers? Are they? Not so much.
That's different guys. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can be a real serious bitch if I don't get what I want.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
This is news?
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, let's see. We are, you know, we've been saying turnout, turnout, turnout.
Yep.
Thank God there are people working on getting out the vote, including Ben McKenzie from the OC.
The OC and Southland.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
Well, you have a very sultry voice, Ben.
He even sounds cute.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. That's my, I went out and had fun for Halloween voice.
Yes.
So you've been out, first of all, you went to University of Virginia, right?
I did, yeah. I graduated in 2001 with a degree in econ and foreign affairs. And I one of the things I'm doing when I'm out and talking to college students, mainly, I'm going to North Carolina on Friday, is telling them that when I was in college in 2000 and the election was coming up, I was so cynical and apathetic that I didn't even vote. And I was in a poli-sci major and an econ major, and I didn't vote. And obviously I regret that to this day.
You're speaking as a former slacker to the kids.
Exactly. So I'm approaching from perhaps a relatable point of view.
So you're responsible for W.
Exactly. Oh, and I'm from Texas originally, so I feel doubly ashamed. So, you know, it really is a, I think, something that I can relate to. I know that times are tough, and, they're potentially entering the job market, and things are difficult. But what I've been impressed by is that these young people, it sounds strange to call them young people, these young people actually have a sense of history, and they understand that, you know, Obama didn't create the recession. Obviously, he inherited it. Yeah. And they really are very fired up, very knowledgeable. They ask really interesting and intelligent questions, and I've been really inspired.
Ben, that is the moment when you realize it is the moment you realize you're an old person when you use the phrase "these young people."
Yeah.
Yes.
But what's your sense? Because, you know, we've been saying it seems like the media's only storyline they want really is, oh, it's a horse race, and oh, there's low enthusiasm here, and oh, the kids aren't going to turn out. And, you know, like, for instance, that was one of the memes is, oh, you know, Latinos aren't going to vote. Well, they just did a poll. 87% of Hispanics plan to vote this year. What is your sense among, as you call them, the young people?
Yeah, right, exactly. I would say, you know, the way I express it is the sort of hope and optimism of 2008 has hardened into a resolve, which is really sort of deeply, deeply felt and expressed very passionately. It's hard to sort of quantify numbers. You know, all that stuff ends up being kind of anecdotal. But from what I'm seeing, and I think when you look at the early voting numbers in a lot of these battleground states, I mean, I was in Nevada, and you know, those early numbers are really good. And you can look at other states like North Carolina, where I'm going on Friday, and those numbers also seem to be very good. So I would have to say it, but I think numbers don't lie, and you gotta, you know, you gotta look at the turnout so far. So,
Ben, what I haven't heard North Carolina. Do you know what are the latest numbers you've heard?
It just seems like, you know, African Americans, students, a lot of the, you know, Democratic constituencies, which everybody on the center and the right has said, you know, oh, they're discouraged, oh, they're not going to turn out, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, so far, they have been turning out, and turning out in huge numbers. Now, North Carolina was exceedingly close in 2008, like 14,000 votes. So, look, it's going to be tough, but it certainly isn't this. It's interesting, you know, the pundits write off certain states, I think, in part to make it a horse race. You know, they say, like they say, Romney's got North Carolina, so we can give that to his total, and how close can we make this? But the truth is, you know, the only thing we can really say is it's incumbent upon every citizen to express their viewpoint by voting, by participating, and the numbers will be what they will be. But I'm very optimistic at this point. I'm very optimistic.
Ben, in the state where you went to school, Virginia, we were just reading, the president is, again, very close, but up 2 points. It was interesting. Chris Christie, not the only Republican governor, Bob McDonnell, would you believe, has been praising the president as well. He said the federal response was incredibly fast. We're very grateful. He described Obama as direct and personal in his approach to the disaster, adding that the partisanship has gone out the window. He said the election's going to come, but it says a lot about the president. It makes me feel good to be an American, that people have the right focus. And like I say, these are people that have really been partisan. They've been top surrogates for Romney.
Right. And, you know, I will say that is the silver lining in this horrible, you know, tragedy is you have seen both sides really work together and very closely. And, you know, we really don't have to sort of throw stones either way. We can really just sort of celebrate that. Unfortunately, it's taken this to create that, but both sides are working together seemingly very well. You know, hopefully the folks on the East Coast will get some relief, you know, relatively soon.
I have a question for you. We've had other Obama surrogates on, Aisha Tyler, Melissa Fitzgerald, Elizabeth Banks. Why are our surrogates so much hotter than theirs? including you.
I was about to say I will take myself out of that, and I will just appreciate their hotness.
And we will put you right back in.
And I think, you know, what I'm missing from the political sort of landscape and the statistical analysis of, like, places like 538 and Princeton Election Consortium is an actual statistical breakdown of our surrogate hotness versus the Republican surrogate hotness.
It's a landslide, trust me.
Yeah. It should be. It ought to be. So I want Nate Silver to get on that.
Ben, we can't say it enough. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. We've got gotavote.org up. You know, yep. Find out the rules in your state. Take someone else to the polls. Right. Any other tips for us?
No, I mean, you know, you have to go to your to local. You know, understand your local election rules. It obviously varies state by state, but in many, many states, obviously, early voting has been going on for a long time. And get out there. Many states have same-day registration, so even if you haven't registered, you can still vote. Even if you realize that you can't vote because you screwed up, you can still make phone calls. You can still knock on doors. So the important thing is just to get motivated and get out there and do something.
Next time you're back here near the OC, would you like to come in studio with us?
You got it. You got it. Absolutely.
All right. All right, Ben. Thank you so much, and thanks for your great work on the campaign trail. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
Ben. All right.
Stephanie.
There he goes, Ben McKenzie. I did that for you, Jesse Shepherd.
I was going to say, I'd be happy to give him my chair, or share my chair with him.
Just scooch over.
Oh, my God. Was he a ventriloquist dummy? Oh, by the way.
I got her some man meat.
Hello. Exciting. Okay. It's very attractive man meat. I'll take it.
Hello. Yes, Jim.
I'm just saying, people are still freaked out about the polls. There's a great article on Truth Out about political polling is no longer meaningful. If I can just read the first paragraph here, if I have time. When you receive an unexpected call from a private number or 1-800 number, do you answer the phone?
No.
Most people don't, and those who do are hardly a representative sample of the American population. Yet the results of all major political polls are based on the assumption that the 9% of us who answer the phone are perfectly representative of the 91% who don't.
Yeah.
So,
that's what I've been saying, that you
right.
can't trust these things.
Right.
Who do you know that's answered right. a poll? I mean, nobody I know has ever answered a poll. And
ooh, an 800 number. Well,
exactly.
I don't answer the phone ever because I've had very unfortunate taste.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's
oh, my God. You just opened that window a little slightly
kidding.
Into your world.
She also doesn't open the door for the same reason.
Yeah.
Because my former choices come
she doesn't
to
leave the
me.
House.
Oh, my God.
Crazy in the head.
Jackie.
Yes, love.
There's another rapey guy. Did you hear about the latest rapey Republican?
There's another rapey Republican?
Or another gray-faced politician with a $2 haircut.
Oh, boy.
It's a Republican.
Shocker.
John Koster. Have you heard of this guy running for Congress in Washington State? Said over the weekend, the rape thing.
Yeah, that rape thing.
He called it the rape thing twice.
Yeah.
Did not justify a woman's right to terminate her pregnancy. He said, incest is so rare. I mean, it's so rare. But the rape thing, you know, I know a woman who was raped and kept the child, gave it up for adoption, didn't regret it. In fact, she's a big pro-life proponent. But on the rape thing, like rape thing again.
Oh, rape thing. Man, that rape
no
thing.
Big deal. Rape thing.
It's
artificial rape flavor. It's rapey.
It's rapey. It's a little rapish.
Rapey.
It feels a little rapish.
On the rape thing, it's like, how does putting more violence onto a woman's body and taking the life of an innocent child that's a consequence of this crime, how does that make it better?
Okay. Wait, what's our tally now? How many Republican men and how many women have spoken about this? What's our tally?
Like 7-0?
Yeah.
Here's a big bag of
shush. Speaking of
female politicians, guess
who's
ahead?
Who?
Wisconsin Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin. Hooray! Could make history next week as the first openly gay member of the Senate. In the final poll before she's up 47-43.
Wow.
Over former Governor Tommy Thompson. And as we were saying in that same poll, President Obama up 51-43%. You know what? You're messing with the wrong honey badgers. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to Rhonda in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you guys know that a couple of nights ago, one of the local TV broadcasts, one of the big three, had a very brief 10-second story about a billboard that's in the predominantly black areas of Dallas.
Yep.
And it reads, and I believe I'm quoting it, Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. Vote Republican.
Mm.
Now, I don't know that he was, and I don't know that I have any way to prove that one way or
the
other.
He might have been when the Republican Party
was the party for civil rights.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. So they're trying to even, pull from 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
something that they don't have now.
And Lincoln was a Republican, too, but that was when they were their progressive party.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Lots more to get to, including David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
What?
Right? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, that woman's about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What are you doing?
I'm coordinating with my fabulous producer, Lisa, on what we're going to do in the news coming up in the next segment.
We're a bad influence.
We are.
Okay, 15 minutes after the hour. But we do. We get people in trouble.
I know.
1-800-STEP-1-2.
Do you know how many bouquets of flowers I'm going to have to buy her now?
We were just kidding.
How many chicken noodle soups I'm going to have to send her in the News Plexo Center? Are you aware of all the makeup I'm going to have to
See, now that you're with us, you have a lot more time to get yourself in trouble. Welcome to our world.
She does
got 3 hours a day.
And she does a wonderful job of getting me the sound on tape.
Yeah, Lisa's fabulous in a thousand ways. And the fact that I may have upset her in any way makes me really upset. So I now owe her.
All right. Girls, don't fight. You're both pretty and both wildly competent.
Okay. Oh, no.
Wow. Well, that's a
damning with
what every girl wants to hear.
She's such a great personality.
Wildly competent.
I offend her several times a day. I don't
take offense to any of it anymore. But
all right.
That's because it's coming from you, and I just know.
Yeah.
All right, Mittens, Jim, as I mentioned earlier, has this ever
happened?
Speaking
of offensive people.
Do you think, like, news organizations just, like, have a template that says Romney flip-flops on, and then they just fill in?
Yes. Right.
Yes, Romney flip-flops on killing FEMA. He's changed his mind in his promise to absolutely eliminate the federal agency charged with providing relief in disasters. During Republican primaries, we know he said he would abolish FEMA. He had said taking it back to the states was the right direction. Privatizing, even better.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying yesterday, what kind of moronic idea is that? Really? You're going to have to figure out a profit margin in helping people in an emergency? I mean,
what a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Anytime you can privatize it, even better. After repeatedly ignoring reporters' questions about that topic how many days, he now says, I believe FEMA plays a key role in working with states and localities to prepare for and respond to disasters.
Of
As president,
course it
I
does.
Will ensure...
Of course it does.
I've always said that. I've always been for FEMA. George Haddow, who worked as deputy chief of staff at FEMA in the 90s, told the Boston Globe that Romney's vision for the agency mirrors that of George W. Bush. The problem
Heck of a
is,
job, Brownie.
It doesn't reflect the reality of major disasters. You need FEMA. You need a large FEMA. FEMA can do things that no state or local government can
FEMA.
Do. No, not FEMA. FEMA.
Oh, okay. That's
FEMA can do things that no state or local government can do and often has experience and expertise that they don't have. Yes, you think? However, we were saying this yesterday, letting the states run it would be a good idea unless you're Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
The headline is, as governor, Mitt Romney was slow to respond to disasters, and his state local critics say, Mitt Romney argues that federal disaster response should be handled at the state level, but when disaster struck Massachusetts, he was missing in action, according to some of the state's local
politicians. He was the state level.
Yes. And
happened?
He was mostly gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he would never respond.
Uh-huh. Robert Reich's most recent blog is Romney's latest lie, his former lies, and why we must not put liars in the White House.
Yes.
By the way, guess what he might have brought us, though?
What?
While he was governor.
Ebola?
No! Meningitis!
Oh, that's right.
Guess
Close.
What Romney got us for Christmas?
Meningitis!
Romney's lax regulation may have fueled meningitis outbreak. An epidemic that has killed 25 is linked to a Massachusetts company that Romney's administration failed to regulate.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Mm-hmm. It can now be traced to the failure of then-Governor Mitt Romney to adequately regulate the Massachusetts pharmaceutical company that is being blamed for the deaths. At least 344 people in 18 states have been affected by the growing public health crisis. He's not going to win the presidency, but that's our lovely parting gift.
Wow.
Meningitis. Thanks.
I'd rather have the rice-a-roni.
Can I have a side of chlamydia? Thanks.
Chlamydia.
State records reveal a Massachusetts regulatory agency found that the New England Compounding Company, that's the pharmaceutical company, repeatedly failed to meet accepted standards in 2004, but a reprimand was withdrawn by the Romney administration in apparent deference to the company's business interests.
Wow.
It goes directly to the heart of what Romney says about regulation. Hands off, let companies do their things. Mm-hmm. And one official
and
that.
Kill people in the process.
Thanks, Mittens.
Nicely done.
Thanks. Wow. Thanks.
Of course I let them die. Of course I did.
I have always been against meningitis. What?
By menin.
No, okay.
No.
Mittens, back on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. I had to get a jump on the president by a day.
We're going through trauma in a major part of the country.
Oh, thank
a kind
you.
Of trauma you've experienced here in Florida more than once.
Thanks, Captain Obvious.
And it's interesting to see how people come together.
And I'm really enjoying the collaboration between President Obama and Chris Christie.
Of course.
Isn't it interesting?
Of course. I am.
Really bad timing for me. Okay. Okay. All right.
Please make sure that you go out and vote early. If you have a dollar extra, send it to the Red Cross for our friends that are in harm's way.
A dollar.
I love you. I appreciate it. And together we're going to win.
Wow, you've got a lot of extra dollars. How about how many have you sent?
Send a bunch
instead
of dollars.
Of unneeded dinty stews. How about you send some
dinty more beef stew?
Yeah, dinty more beef
dinty stew.
Spam.
Dinty
whatever.
Stew?
Or, you know, if it's an old can, it might be dinty stew. knocked around a bit. But.
All right. I don't think he even believes it anymore, do you?
I believe that this is the year for us to take a different course.
Yeah.
I will bring real change and real reform.
Real bad change. Yeah. But he won't send any change to the Red Cross.
No.
And he'll give you meningitis.
I can't send any dollars.
Well,
I'm too busy clearing paper products.
He'll give her womeningitis, but yes.
All right. I don't. Wow, this is just not a good news week for Mittens, is it?
No.
Oh, there's a couple of
and of all the weeks
stories.
For it to be a not good news
yeah,
week for
this men, week, not,
this week would probably
yeah. I am reading he will be charged by the UAW, you know, United Automobile. Thank you,
yes,
thank you for that, Jim, and other public interest groups with violating the federal ethics government law by improperly concealing his multi-million-dollar windfall from the auto industry bailout.
Of course I did. Of course I did.
Wow.
Who do you think you're talking to? Of course
Bob King and the head of UAW and crew will file a formal complaint with the U.S. Office of Government Ethics stating that Governor Romney improperly hid a profit of $15.3 million to $115 million in Ann Romney's so-called blind trust.
Huh.
Didn't she tell him to stop it?
Stop it.
What? That's going to look bad. Don't do that.
Stop it.
While Romney was opposing the rescue of one of the nation's most important manufacturing sectors, he was building his fortunes with his Delphi investor group, making his fortunes off the misfortunes of others, said Bob King. The Romney's gigantic windfall was hidden inside an offshore corporation, inside a limited partnership, inside a trust. Oh, it's like little Russian dolls.
Yeah, it is.
Which both concealed the gain and reduced taxes on it. Neat. That's just neat.
If you elect me president, there will no longer be any ethics in government. I promise you that.
Stop it.
Lots of unfortunate news coming out these days.
Oh, boy.
Rebecca in Georgia, real quick. Hey, Rebecca.
Yes?
Hi, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm calling. I said I was from Georgia. I was from Georgia. I'm actually on 95, going north.
Okay, you got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. I was calling about the congressman in Michigan who talked about,
Oh boy! Hey, sorry, bad phones. Oh dear, bad phone. But she is on I-95, and that was the important thing.
That was the important part.
She's
in
suss
the
out
ice
there.
Tunnel at Universal Studios.
Yeah,
apparently.
Here you go. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Back with David Crosby and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you in part by our friend Bert Levy, author of The Last Open Road and other novels, who asks, have you traveled the last open road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. Check out our Facebook page, by the way. We have some cool stuff up there, including the old people from moveon.org, which is hilarious. All right. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, chirpy liberal, David Axelrod, as Jackie just mentioned, has pledged to shave his mustache if President Obama loses Minnesota, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. You should pledge to shave something if President Obama loses Wisconsin, New Hampshire, or Nevada. Mm. Put your hair where your mouth is.
I think that ship has sailed.
I will shave it into an Eddie Munster hairdo. I will have Mitt Romney and his friends hold me down and shave it into an Eddie Munster hairdo. How about that? Okay.
Wow.
Okay, wait a minute.
There's an image.
Quick Halloween stuff. David in North Carolina. I love when people dress in stuff from our show that no one will understand, but it's just funny to us. Hey, Mama, I thought you'd be interested, amused, delighted to know I spent Halloween dressed as Road Flair Mary.
For the pictures of that?
Mm-hmm. For the Road Flair clenched in my teeth, I went all MacGyver on a wooden dowel, red paint, a battery, and an orange LED light. I completed the outfit with a muumuu that I marked with cigarette burns. The finishing touch was a frizzy purple clown wig.
Wow.
When the children said trick-or-treat, I gave them their candy and said, I'm sorry, I can't give you an Escalade. Obviously, none of them got it, but I felt pretty awesome all the same. David's confusing children in North Carolina last night.
That is amazing. Did he send pictures?
No, he didn't, actually. I have pictures of someone else, though. That's hilarious.
We love you, Road Flair.
And now, right on the phone from Chicago.
No, she's not on the phone now.
Everybody, it's Road Flair Mary.
Oh, wait, is she really, here?
Yes! That's why I thought you were doing this.
Oh, good morning, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, Mare.
You know, I just... you know, I cannot believe, okay, number one, why don't you start talking about the anointed one, which would be Obama?
I've been talking about him all morning.
No,
isn't he awesome?
No, everything is positive.
I know.
He went to the
but enough about what Chris Christie said about him. What do you think about
it? Yeah, that's fine. Chris Christie is worried about New Jersey. He's not worried about Obama.
How come 80% of the American people think the president did a great job?
He was there for a photo op. What is he going to do? Tell him to send money to the Red Cross. Yeah, laugh. Ha, ha, ha.
Mary, I
bet he's got an Escalade full of money for the Red Cross.
Mary, I think you're a little upset because you know Mitt Romney's going to lose.
Upset.
Am I right?
No. Because.
What?
Get used to it. President Romney.
President Romney? What poll are you looking at?
You know what? Not your poll, honey. Not your poll.
Are you accusing me of having a poll, Mary?
Well, you got more than a poll.
Wow!
Well, she's part Polish.
Are you accusing me of
No, not Polish. No.
I haven't had balls since 1978, Mary. I beg your pardon.
Okay, yeah, well, you know what? I'm not Polish.
Okay.
No,
I am. I'm Polish.
That's good for you.
Okay, well, thanks.
You're making no sense today,
all right, Mary.
Mary,
I love
you.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. I'm sorry about Mitt.
Saying about Romney.
I know.
With the giving a dollar to the Red Cross.
Yeah. I'm sorry about his loss. I really
What do you
am.
Want? What has Obama done?
Oh,
he's coordinated the federal response, which 80% of the American people and Chris Christie think he's done an amazing job.
Don't put Chris Christie in it.
Chris Christie put himself in.
Yeah, he's the governor of the state.
You know what? I'm coming to Chicago, and I'm going to take you out for drinks when Mitt Romney loses, all right?
I don't drink.
All right, well, you're going to start.
You kind of sound like you do. Wow.
That's the October surprise. I didn't know
I
she
don't
didn't
drink.
She's a little high-strung this morning.
Okay. I just get a bourbon enema every morning.
Wow. She needs that line from Jack Nicholson. She needs a lot of drinks.
To kill the bug that you have up your ass.
All right, you know what I need? I need some Mudcat. That's what I
need.
Mudcat!
Mudcat!
The most professional Mudcat.
Excellent!
And informational. He's a Mudcat. He's a treat. He's a
real Mudcat!
Good morning, Mud.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good.
You know, I don't drink either.
Really? What?
No.
I will fix that.
January the 3rd, if I make it that far, it'll be 30 years.
Congratulations.
And I'll be honest with you.
Really?
You know, I used to think the only way to have fun in life was to go out and get drunk and chase women and stuff, and I can honestly say that I was right. I've not had any fun at all in 30 years.
That's the only way I have fun. Anyway,
really?
I was going to
bring... Very good.
I was going to bring a big bottle of moonshine and sit on your porch after we
win. I will have you some of the best peach brandy sitting there that you can imagine. Made locally.
Julie in Seattle sends me the headline, Mudcat Strikes Again, Eric Cantor at the OBGYN. Mudcat's man Wayne Powell has a great new ad that shows a woman at the OBGYN with an unwelcome cardboard Eric Cantor interfering with her family planning decisions. Hilarious.
Well, you got to. I don't know if you've seen the ad or not, but it's great. She at the end, of course, the doctor talks about, you know, Todd Aiken and all these bills and the fact that Eric Cantor, you know, wants to get rid of Roe versus Wade. And anyway, the lady says, you know, what can, you know, how do we get rid of him? And he says, well, vote for Wayne Powell. And she says, no, I'm talking about right now. And she points back at the cardboard cutout and said, he's creeping me out.
Well, you know, I mean, Mudcat, the other thing is that Eric Cantor was really the face of, you know, this Republican obstructionism. Do you remember the last disaster, where you remember he asked for offsets before he would give people disaster funding?
Part of it was for Louisa County in his own district. And because of Eric Cantor, they're now going to school in trailers over there. It's a rural county.
Yep.
And, you know, it's, what can I say about Eric Cantor? I'll tell you, since this ad came out, though, I've been doing some thinking about this. One thing that I don't understand is these evangelical women.
Right.
Now, what they will do is they will vote against the individual rights of their own daughter.
Yep.
To protect, so that they can attack the individual rights of gays.
Yep.
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense at all.
Well, and
quite frankly, it's not godlike. I remember when, you know, they did the marriage amendment here in Virginia. I sided with the gays on that on the basis of individual liberties. And, you know, I was quoted right off the bat saying, and it's true, you know, these Republicans better, these evangelicals better start understanding that God loves the queers every bit as much as he loves the Republicans. And that's the way it is. And I don't know. I'm just.
And as a queer, I thank you for that. Now, Mud, I think, you know, we've talked about this. You just brought up the gender gap.
I'll say that very affectionately.
I know. You listen. I appreciate it. Now, we were talking about the gender gap a lot. A lot of latest polling I saw from Virginia, it's still very much there. The president. You know, still very much ahead among Virginia women. He's only up 2 overall, the last poll I saw, though, right? Very tight in Virginia still.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I really believe this, and Chuck Todd and I were talking about it on Monday. I just think that the fact that, you know, the Obama team has the best poll you can get, and that's a previous election. And they did a lot of ID and voter ID, and they're going to get these people back out. I really believe it. I'm getting ready here in a few minutes to have lunch with Don Mark, who's the state political director for Obama, and we're going to be talking about, you know, some, you know, last-minute strategies and some, you know, things we can do, you know, together. And they've done a magnificent job. And, of course, Mike Henry over at Tim Kaine, I can't say enough about him with the GOTV. And what worries me is, you know, the independents in Virginia. If you look at Virginia, you know, how many independents, you know, voted for John McCain in 2008 who are going to vote for Barack Obama in 2012? And, you know, unfortunately, the answer to that is probably less than 10. You know, somebody's drunk or some old person or something like me who can't see and pulls the wrong lever. But there's a whole bunch of people.
Listen, I resent the remarks about drunks this morning. Let me
say. Yeah, really? I don't know. You know what I've been thinking about, obviously. But anyway, there's a lot that voted for Obama who've soured on him. And it's just, this is a GOTV thing. It's what it's about. And I just believe in guys like Don Mark and Mike Henry and, you know, what they're doing with the GOTV. And you don't see a lot of Romney people on the ground.
Well, that's what we're told, that the ground game, it's all down to that now. And, you know, I know that Jim Messina said any, you know, contributions that come in now, they're going right to the ground game, that, you know, they feel that TV stuff is of limited value at this point.
Well, if any, you know, contributions that come into us now, please, you know, if we could finish this thing out on a real high note, we've got a radio buy. It's unbelievable. And, of course, we want to keep this abortion ad. We want
to. Where might we go if we wanted to give?
PowerForVirginia.com. Yes. And listen, we're beating up Eric Cantor. There's no question about it. And he is spending literally millions. He's dumping ads on us. And the mail is unbelievable. That, and surprisingly, like I told y'all, you know, last week or the week before, he's hitting Wayne Powell by name, which drives up, you know, Wayne's name out, ID
yes.
as a first time candidate.
Thank you.
But
thank you, Eric.
If we can get out there and, you know, go positive.
Absolutely.
With some stuff and smack Cantor around some more, which is the most important thing. You know, win, lose, or draw. We've got to fight him, you know, and that's what we're doing.
Yep, absolutely. Mud, gotta go.
Go to Powell for Virginia and send us some money.
Yeah,
gotta go.
PowellForVA.com.
All right, thank you, Mud. Love you. Talk to you soon.
I love y'all too.
All right.
This really ups up my weekend and mud.
Oh, how awesome would that be to get rid of bitch face? Oh. You know, I'm telling you, some of these Tea Party guys too are vulnerable. Steve King, the stunning Steve King.
Stunning Steve King.
Did you see he just said Tuesday federal aid for people impacted by Hurricane Sandy should be approved only with specific spending things in place
order.
So the funds aren't used for Gucci bags and massage parlors.
Right.
Like after Hurricane
Because that's what you're
Katrina.
Thinking about when your
what?
City is underwater.
He's yeah. vulnerable, and I also think it's a very good sign that Michelle Bachmann got laughed at
yes.
during her latest debate. Literally. Belly laughed. So Jim Graves is he slammed her for attacking President Obama instead yep. of providing specific ideas on Medicare and Social Security. He said at the end of the day, you have to solve the problem. You can't do political speak. You have to. And so Bachmann responded by saying she had a very significant investment in the future because of her five biological children with her husband.
Oh. Who's going to have to give up his beard, just like David Axelrod's giving up his mustache.
Yeah. Is Michelle Bachmann going to have to give up her beard if... wins Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
She said, anyway, okay, she went on to say, I've been very much a part of the solution. It's insulting to say it's political speak. That's the one thing I do not do is political speak. Her comment drew, like guffaws,
yeah.
literally. Like, to her face.
Well, that would imply that she's coherent.
Right.
Which she's
not.
Not.
No, not.
Do we have a minute to talk about this new Get
super.
Out the Vote effort?
Yes,
right.
please.
So we were just talking with Mudcat Senator Saunders.
Thanks for asking. yes.
I know, just making sure. But apparently, according to Huffington Post, Mitt Romney's trying this giant new project, Orca, is what it's called.
Project
it's
Orca?
Orca. It's a big Get Out the Vote project they're doing.
We don't want to go with Flipper. It would be too obvious.
Right. But this new technology, I'm reading through it right now. They're reporting that it's going to rely on 34,000 volunteers in swing states on election day to keep track of who's voting at key polling places. It sounds a little Big Brother-ish.
Yeah.
Obviously,
are they
there's
to change
been
the votes once they find out.
Right. I mean, obviously, we've been doing Get Out the Vote monitoring for a long, long time, but it sounds like they've got this new technological project they're trying.
In other words, they're monitoring all the voting machines. Is that what that means?
Surprising. They say people. I say machines. We'll
you
see.
Think you can?
Surprising, they're not confident in his sparkling personality. 19 minutes after the hour. What did you just fall on something?
No.
Okay, 19 minutes.
You told me to play super, and then
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Mike in Sacramento says, Steph, it sounds like Jim has discovered Romney's tell. Of course. Every time he says, you can tell he's lying when he says, of course, blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine playing poker with mittens? Of course I don't have four aces. Of course. I have always been for FEMA.
I have always had a 2 and a 3.
Of course I don't have a full house. Look over there. All right. I mentioned this earlier. You know this the secret tape? They had, the 47%, whatever. This was not... But Ann Romney now has said this twice. You tell me, is this condescending or racist? I don't really know. Mm-hmm. She's twice referred to Mitt as a grown-up, meaning, the president is, I guess, not. She said on this tape, this is a frightening world and we need a grown-up. We need someone that understands the economy, so I'm glad Mitt has grown up to you all. This might be passed off as another example of Ann Romney being clueless to how offensive calling a black man not a grown-up or, in other words, boy, but is really, as Mother Jones points out, not the first time she's used this particular slur. She said to Candy Crowley on CNN back in August, she said, I'm hearing from so many women that may not have considered voting for a Republican before that it's time for the grown-up to come. The man that's going to take this very seriously and take the future of our children very seriously. Is it just normal Ann Romney condescending?
I think it's normal Ann Romney condescension.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, either way, stop it.
Stop it.
All right.
Stop it. I think Ann Romney needs a big slice of pie.
Stop it.
What?
Okay. This is about your mama. Okay. Susan Eisenhower.
And I'm not talking about blueberry.
No.
No.
Susan Eisenhower, granddaughter of President Dwight Eisenhower. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you see she has endorsed President Obama?
Yay.
Yeah. She said Romney had to run to the extreme right to get the nomination to begin with. Now, classically, candidates move into the middle, but he didn't do that till quite late in the campaign, which leads you to believe that perhaps he was with the ideas he was espousing during the primary. As a result of this campaign, I am more confused than ever about what Mitt Romney stands for. I know little of his core beliefs, if he even has any. No one seems to agree on what they are, and that's why I do not want to take a chance on finding that out. She endorsed Obama in 2008, the same year she left the Republican Party. Her father, retired Army General John Eisenhower, left the Republican Party 4 years earlier in 2004 and endorsed John Kerry for president.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Eisenhower are moderate Republicans.
Yep.
Much like
President Obama.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, did you see this? It's not only Mitt Romney doing fake, what was that called? A relief event? Not a campaign event.
Storm relief benefit.
Sure.
Sure.
Where he staged, I don't know, getting a... goods, as he called them.
Goods.
For people.
Goods.
Even though the Red Cross specifically said don't do that.
Don't give us goods.
Don't
by the way,
give us
Dayton
money.
Didn't need any storm relief.
Maybe Cleveland.
So Paul Ryan joins in the fake relief efforts. Paul Ryan also held a relief event. And while he didn't go to Walmart and buy the items his supporters could donate back to him, like Mitt Romney did, his supporters were ordered to slow down and leave something unpacked so that he could have his photo op.
Yep.
Yeah, the order was given by a campaign staffer about 20 minutes before Paul Ryan entered the ironically named GOP victory office.
Hmm. Bless his heart.
That's how you offer storm relief, the GOP victory office.
They pulled boxes from under 6 tables laden with canned food to be shipped to New Jersey again, which they don't want. The packing was proceeding too quickly, and one of the supporters gave the order to slow down and then to stop to be sure there were still goods to be packed when Paul Ryan entered for his little photo op.
Wow. Did he clean some dishes while he was there?
They made sure there were some clean pots he could reuse.
That he could... I know. They are just pathetic. They really are. It's like it's more important to be seen looking like you're helping in sort of a helpish fashion than to actually be helping.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like President Obama. All right. 29 minutes. I had so much stuck in my craw. It's probably why I'm sick. 20. Will the antibiotics get it out of my craw?
You just need a cryectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 20. Yeah. David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, Nash. Right. No need heard of them.
And Young.
Right. No.
Occasionally.
All right. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Put your hands in the air like you eat and just don't care.
All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. This is very exciting. Guess who's coming in our house?
Who? Oh, come on.
I had to. I can't help myself. I'm very excited. David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Good morning, David.
Good morning to you, too. And I thought it was funny. What the heck?
It's my favorite song.
I actually have four cats in the yard.
With two cats in the yard, it keeps my mouse on guard.
Well, David, I don't know how, you know, how do you even, every conversation with you must start with, I'm a huge fan, because who isn't? But you are also good friends with our good friend David Bender, so we're
deeply good friends, man. He's been my pal for 20 years.
Yep. We have, you have good taste. We all have good taste. So, David, and I, you know, obviously I've been such a fan of yours musically, but also politically. I mean, you know, you guys have been, it's interesting, we're doing the Sexy Liberal Tour, and we give money to a cause at every show. We stole your act. You've been doing that for years, right? Setting aside seats, right?
Yeah, except very few people call me sexy.
I do.
Very few, particularly at this age.
But, I mean, you've been setting aside seats for good causes. What, I mean, what?
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, have you been political since forever? How did it start for you?
Started with me in a very odd way. My mom was playing one of our few records when I was a child, a small child. And it was a Josh White record, and it had a song on it called Strange Fruit.
Mm. Yeah.
And I said, Mommy, what's the man talking about? What's the strange fruit? And she started crying, and she sat down and explained to me what the strange fruit were. Yeah. And that made me feel like that wasn't right, you know. And so then I got to the point a few years later where I thought, let me see now, these black people are American citizens, and they live here, and they were born here, and they legally have a right to vote here, and they're being kept from being able to vote. I'm gonna make some trouble here.
Right.
And so it started with civil rights, and then, of course, along came Vietnam, which was just enraged me, you know, and I fought it like a something.
Yes.
of course, we thought we'd get it, you know, all finished up in about 1 year, and it took us 10. But the time did come when that farmer in Iowa said, I don't want my boy to go.
Right.
And then it was kind of the tipping point. And we found over the years that was part of our job, you know, we were supposed to be still part of our job. Part of our job is to make you boogie. But part of our job is to be troubadours, to carry the news.
Well, you do make me boogie, and B, I think that it's interesting, even particularly in this year, Bruce Springsteen, James Taylor, we just talked to last week. You know, it's interesting how many people are
a great guy,
right? But I mean, that are getting so politically involved. Because talk to us about why you feel this is such an important year and such an important election.
Well, it's crucial for a lot of reasons. What we have done over the last few years by stepping into the Middle East and seriously stepping in horse poop. Afghanistan. Alexander the Great, one of the great generals of history. Mm-hmm. Where did he not succeed? I'll give you one guess.
Afghanistan.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the Brits at the height of the Raj when they ruled half the world. Where did they go in? And
Afghanistan.
Thank you. And
Jim's a good student.
The Russians, and they were willing to fight dirty. I mean, bombs disguised as toys. That's fighting dirty. And they had their asses handed to them.
By the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, which we helped create to fight the Russians. So that worked out well.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that worked out well. We seem to have a talent for backing the wrong people, but that was pretty spectacularly bad.
Go ahead.
No, you first.
Listen, the fact that we got a rock star of your magnitude and at this hour in the morning is just stunning. So let me. obviously, you know, you've been talking about so many of these issues even before, like, say, Citizens United, talking about getting money out of politics and all that. I mean.
Oh, talking about it loud, because I really. See, I'm really corny. I really believe in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence, and I really believe in voting. And I think it's the best system anybody's ever designed to do this, you know, to have a bunch of people live together under the rule of law and get an equal shot.
Yep.
I believe in it. And
what a commie.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, the president's a socialist. You're at least a communist, Dave.
I probably am, I probably am. But it's the stuff that I believe. And so, you know, I'm up here at 8:30 in the morning.
And by the way,
it matters.
You just got off tour, didn't you? I mean, so the fact that you're getting involved, I mean, you got to be exhausted.
Actually, yeah, we were getting involved on tour. Every night we would tell people to go vote, and every night we would sing that song of mine about who are the men who really run this land and why do they run it with such a thoughtless hand.
Because
most people don't know. We don't know who the guys on the boards of directors of the companies that are, in fact, since you can buy a congressman for the price of a good car, they are, in fact, running the country. Now, there's a wonderful thing here, children. Don't fall into despair. They hate each other, and they don't trust each other, the companies. And so they don't operate in unity. And they actually have managed to buy themselves into a situation where only a few votes count. How many was it for Bush? It was 5, 6, 7, wasn't it?
I'm speaking to you on Al Gore's network, so I can probably get that number for you
yes.
in a second.
It wasn't a lot of people,
yeah.
And they made the difference, which means that if this one is closed like that, then all those guys, big guys went out and spent all that money only to get it down to where a handful of actual voters is going to decide what goes on. What a situation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, and I think that everybody says that every time, don't they, David? Oh, this is the most important election in my lifetime. But, I mean, you look at just the Supreme Court, and you look at just the diverse choice you have here, and it really is an incredibly important election.
It is to me. No, I don't want to, I don't want to be mean about somebody else's religion or any belief systems or anything, but... there's some real fruitcakey kind of problems with the opposing guy there. Things that he believes and uses as part of his thinking process that are contrary. You know, they're kind of 2 and 2 is 5.
Yeah.
And that disturbs the heck out of me. On the other hand, we've got a man who I've looked in his eyes 3 times now, shook his hand, and talked to him, and. There's somebody home, and he's a brilliant man, and he loves this country, and he cares about doing a good job. He's proved that the last few days. And I do feel it is one of those cusp points, one of those very, very important elections.
Yeah, absolutely. And my friend Aisha Tyler, who I just played The Beacon with, said that she met him, and he smells like cookies and freedom. I don't know if you can confirm that or not.
I didn't want to sniff him. Because I thought the Secret Service guys would think I was a little...
By the way, speaking of 1 degree of separation, so I had a friend that just went to see you with The Beacon and took a picture, and I was playing there a few days later. So there you go.
Yeah. And isn't it a great room?
It's so historic.
Yeah.
And such great audiences.
And let me just say, Crosby, Stills, and Nash smells like cookies and freedom as well. I could still smell you there.
We did 5 nights there and sold out every seat in the house.
I know you did.
That's awesome.
And we just had so much fun. It was like a basket of puppies. We'd get there each night, and go, Hawaii, what are we going to do tonight? Ooh, let's do this.
I look forward to the time I can trick you to coming over when David's at my house and playing the guitar on my front deck.
Ooh,
it's
for free.
A certain lack of clothing always helps.
Listen, I am there. I've been a groupie for years. And let me just tell you, your friend Melissa Etheridge is the official female rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show, and John Mellencamp was the official male. I'm ready to bump him right now if you will be the official male rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, no question. No question. John's just a wuss compared to me.
Right. Yes. There, so says David Crosby, the new official male rock star of the Stephanie Miller
and
Show.
Boy, do you have good taste in picking Melissa. She is, you know why I fell in love with her in the first place?
Why?
Bravery.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Bravery. Bravery, intellectual bravery, emotional bravery, sexual bravery, all every possible kind of way to measure bravery. She's got it, and she's got you trumped. Bad choice of words, Dave.
That's huge. Yeah.
She's got you.
No, she's a hero. She's a hero to so many. I mean, not just, you know, musically, to cancer survivors, to gay people. You know, when I came out, she wrote me this beautiful letter. I have it framed in my house because she's, one of my heroes.
She was one of mine too. And I was thrilled actually when she did that. I have the clip someplace, and I think she's an incredibly courageous and bright woman. And I saw an interview she did the other day on somebody responsible show, and she was so on point and so articulate and so clear.
Yep.
And so uncompromisingly, you know, brave.
What do you think the chances are I could trick both of you into coming over and playing guitar on my front deck?
Oh, my God.
It can be done. It can be done. We both love to play guitar.
So are you asking them to come to your window?
No, you didn't. All right, David Crosby, thank you so much. What an honor. I hope to talk to you again real soon.
You know, you have the pipeline. I will, come by particularly to talk about Barack Obama anytime.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Thank you, David.
Okay.
Love to you. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
How cool is that?
That was great. Okay. Even Jim was geeking out a little bit.
That was
okay,
cool.
46 minutes after
and
the hour.
And he's so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is all very strange.
I agree. Something's not right.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Cause me my future husband. I think I can. I would have a natural child with him. I would. I will go to his house right now.
I feel like he would take you up on that. Too.
Yeah. He has a history of that.
51 minutes after the hour. How awesome, David Crosby in the house.
Well,
in our house. In our house.
Oh, in our house.
Yeah. Let's play compare and contrast, shall we? David Crosby, Meatloaf.
Oh, God, did you hear him singing at that event?
Oh,
I meant to get the audio from that. I didn't. I'm sorry.
Wow, that was awful.
You're fired.
Well, we don't want to give it any more publicity.
He has like a worse voice singing patriotic songs than Mitt Romney. It was horrible.
Oh, God. And he's a singer by trade.
America. He urged the crowd to go out and vote. It turns out he might not be able to do the same because he's a dummy and he forgot to register
in
his home state of Texas.
Wow.
He reportedly requested a California mail-in ballot from a property he sold 17 months ago.
You are an idiot!
So he hasn't lived in California in over a year.
All right. Ha-ha, Meatloaf can't vote.
I wonder if Lindsay Lohan has bothered to register. Remember, she was...
I don't think she ever did.
Yeah, she had to change her registration because she moved.
What could she have been doing?
I don't know if she's had time because...
Coked up.
Okay. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Longtime marriage equality advocate Brad Pitt has donated a whopping $100,000 to the Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah.
To support the organization's efforts and campaign for marriage equality in Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, and Washington State. You know what? That might make me. That might be enough for me to leave Team Jen and go to a Team Angelina.
No.
Considering.
You're still talking about it.
That's kind of not okay.
You're apparently still Team Jen?
Very much so.
Right? Oh, my God.
Very much so.
Jim has always been Team I don't give a... But I never let that go. No.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I found the video of Meatloaf Should we try to play it? I don't know.
Well, no.
Okay.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Wow. It was...
Oh, Leslie in Pleasanton. Hi, Stephanie Moves. Here are my husband and son, Dan and Luke, on their way out the door last night to go trick-or-treating. He's dressed as Mitt Romney with a binder full of women. Yeah. And his son is dressed as a, look, Paul Ryan, little... In the workout video. With a sign that says, I'm with the flip-flopper.
Oh, that is great.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Oh,
all right.
Fantastic.
Our listeners, helpers, of course. Annie writes, Staff, I live in Wisconsin. When I heard what you're doing with the Red Cross, my sister and I both got on the phone and donated $500 each. Good girl! With a notation, it was because of Stephanie Miller. Yeah, we have the sexy liberal cause for the New York Beacon Show. We decided we'll be New York Red Cross. And also, you can... Wait a minute. Chris, what's the thing? Here it is. You can text 90999 for an automatic $10 donation to the Red Cross to help all our folks. Oh, please let us know how Roland's doing. We're all worried about him. He's in a luxury hotel. Don't worry.
The big problem in New York right now.
Have gone to the W, I believe.
The big problem right now, I mean, they're talking a lot about the commute. And, you know, if you've never lived in New York or haven't spent a lot of time in New York, what you don't appreciate is how much people rely on public transportation.
Yeah.
And cabs and that sort of thing. Everything's all, not only are all the subway systems down, people rely on the buses. They now have to have three people in their cars to get across the bridges.
Right.
So that's what's clogging up a lot of the system now, and people can't get around, even those who have power.
And Roland's saying it's like the dead zone beneath, like, I don't know what street it is. But it's
34th,
I mean,
Street, I think they said. Everything below 34th.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, no power, no nothing, no heat, no, you know. What's that? Oh, you have it? Oh, great. Perfect. Here is Meatloaf.
America, God's name is great.
That's why I didn't want to play it for you in the first place. And then you told me I was fired, so I had to get it.
But he sings for a living.
Yes, he does.
Allegedly.
Well, he would do anything for love, but he won't do that.
I need that.
I need some more David Crosby to cleanse that from my ears.
I have to go back and get it.
Awful.
I thought Romney was bad, but at least he wasn't screaming.
So he's made a living at that, is what your point is.
Yeah.
Wow!
I said it!
Place the flower.
It's like audio sorbet.
Yeah. I think that was mostly Graham Nash there. But anyway.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a silver lining, I guess. I'm the only one from Hurricane Sandy. There's a beaver alert. Beavers displaced by Sandy are roaming the streets. Arlington, Virginia. Storm sends beaver. What?
I wanted to say loose beaver.
Yeah. Loose Sandy Beaver.
Sandy draws all the beaver to the yard, apparently, I guess.
Sitting this close to Jim does that. It makes me say things like loose beaver.
Say dirty things.
Yeah, inappropriate things.
I'm sorry, Mom.
She's new to Captain America's underpants.
It's very dirty in here.
I have my inappropriate filthy ray that extends out.
All right. Beyond the building. Both President Obama and Mitt Romney's campaigns have enlisted thousands of attorneys. In case any factors cause the upcoming election to be contested, election litigation has become an institutionalized part of campaigns since the 2000 presidential race, I said, on Al Gore's network. This time around, the storm that devastated a large portion of the Northeast has hampered early voting and created concern in those ravaged areas may have difficulty getting to the polls. So this will be, either way it goes, it'll be good for the lawyers.
That's right.
At the ready. Oh, speaking of lawyers, I'm reading some interesting things on the interwebs.
Oh?
Which are all true, I'm sure.
For a while now, people have talked about how Romney donates a sizable part of his earnings to charity. You know, it's supposed to be that's what makes it so noble and all.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for Romney, the truth about at least some of his charitable giving may not be so noble. It makes one wonder if Harry Reid was right when he said, I was told by a very credible source he's not paid taxes. No wonder Romney refuses to release his tax returns. You might want to get the Dragnet music ready for this. Bloomberg now reporting that due to a grandfathered-in charitable trust, the Romney family is able to effectively launder millions of dollars through what is listed on their tax returns as charitable donations. This form of tax deduction loophole was closed some years ago, but this trust is allowed to operate due to a loophole which makes trust place put in place before the new law was put in place exempt. In 2000 alone, Romney withdrew over $40,000 from the fund tax-free while only earning $48.
Wow.
In effect, he's renting the tax-deferred status of a charity. In this case, the fund's beneficiary, the Mormon Church. The fund was set up in 1996 just 13 months before Congress cracked down on the scam that Romney continues to use it to this day thanks to a loophole speaks volumes of how charitable he truly is.
I'm guessing Fox isn't going to report that.
Yeah. Developing is Tom Brokaw.
Developing.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
With Will.i.am, who's going to be on with us tomorrow.
A P!
We have a P.
We'll see you tomorrow.